Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for being part of our day. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. Thank you for that. And you're going to get a lot smarter because Mary Beth Franklin is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Mary Beth is senior editor of Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine, celebrating now their 60th year in business, if I'm not mistaken. Mary Beth, is that right?
That's right, and Jim, I'm so glad you brought it up because we are really proud of it. You know, we keep hearing about the boomers are turning 61, et cetera. It's like, hey, guys, we've been there every step of
exactly.
the way. We've never steered you wrong.
Exactly. Well, of course, my audience knows that about my affinity for Kiplinger. Joan Pride is with me every week to cover the letter. And of course, Mr. Kiplinger, Austin Kiplinger, the son of the founder, Willard Kiplinger, is a witness to a century and a national treasure. As far as I'm concerned, he's been with us a number of times before. So you're in good company, Mary Beth. We're glad to have you here, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, and I'm honored to join such austere company.
let's talk about something you guys call a program called Jumpstarting Your Retirement Planning for 2007. Let's talk about some of the things you recommend in the Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine.
Well, I think New Year's is a great time to talk about resolutions, and I think for most people, the two are at the top of the list of lose weight and save more. And I might not be able to help you with the lose weight part, but I'm really good about helping you save more.
That's meddling a little bit there, Mary Beth.
There you go. But it's so important. You know, as we look over the past few years, we are reading and I am writing stories day after day about traditional pensions being frozen, retiree health benefits disappearing, wondering what the future of Social Security is. All that comes down to, it's all up to you. So your retirement will depend on what you do right now, and the sooner you start, the better.
Well, exactly. We've all got to do that. Now, the good news is that the government has provided us with a number of vehicles to do this and to do it, to plan for our retirement and save taxes at the same time, hasn't it?
Absolutely, and small business owners are really in the prime position to save for their own retirement. In fact, if you have something like a solo 401k, which applies to people who don't have any employees other than a spouse, or a SEP IRA, you can save up to $45,000 tax-free this year. And if you're 50-plus, like some of us here, you can kick in an extra $5,000.
Wow.
That brings you up to $50,000 that you are not paying taxes on.
Year over year, we can do that.
Exactly. And that is up $1,000 from last year. Last year, it was a $44,000.
And that's on top of whatever program we have for our employees.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is tough.
And tell us, and what's that call again?
Well, the 401, the solo 401k.
Solo 401k.
Or the SEP IRA. Those are both.
Either one of those can get you to $50,000.
Absolutely. The difference is with a solo 401k, you can get to that limit faster, but they both have the same maximum limit.
I see. All right. And so, and that's, you know, that's the reason that's a good thing, Mary Beth, is because there are a lot of small businesses out there, a lot of small business owners out there who are a little long in the tooth, like me. And they put everything that they can get into their business. They hock their, you know, they mortgage their houses. They hock the jewelry. They did the deferred gratification thing like crazy, and they built a business, and they basically forsook their retirement in order to put everything they could into the business
to realize that dream.
Exactly, and they did it. Now the business is doing okay, and it's good for them to be able to catch up.
Right. You know, another thing, now the two plans I just talked about work best for sole proprietors who don't have employees. There are other small business type retirement plans, like perhaps a simple plan if you have a small business where you are matching up to 3% of your employee's contribution.
Mm-hmm.
But while we talk about the traditional defined benefit plans disappearing for big businesses, they're actually very popular among small businesses
really?
Right now. Yeah, and particularly those small business owners you just described who have finally, after many years, built up a business. You might be in your prime earning years. That is a great time to look into a defined benefit plan for yourself where you're in a position that you can, you know, really sock a lot of money away, maybe those last 5-10 years of business, and you can get away 6 figures saving for retirement.
Really?
Absolutely. There's a very good site called 401khelpcenter.com. It's a website that you can
401khelpcenter.com. Okay.
And it has wonderful articles explaining the different types of retirement plans available for small businesses. And then there's also a list of vendors you can go to, because that's one of the hardest things when you're a small business. You say, great, I'm going to set up a retirement plan, but then where do you go to?
Not only does Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine have a lot of information, they know where a lot of information is, and they give it to you, and that's a good thing. Mary Beth Franklin, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. She's with that fine organization. She and I will be right back after these messages. It's 20 till. We got more financial planning to come after these messages. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our friend Mary Beth Franklin, Senior Editor with Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine. Mary Beth, give us that website, please.
We were talking about 401k.
No, your website. Your website.
My website.
Yeah.
My website is kiplinger.com, and for those spelling impaired, that's kiplinger.com, and it has a wealth of information. We have a whole new look to our website, and it's really fabulous.
Well, I like telling people about Kiplinger's website, and don't forget, folks, the publication not only is there at the website to subscribe to, but you can also get it at newsstands. Okay, Mary Beth, let's talk about some other resolutions for our 2007 retirement planning.
Well, we talked about saving more, and you know, it's going to get a whole lot easier for people to
Is saving really a good idea? You know, this is an argument I have with experts and people who complain that Americans aren't saving, and they're making it sound like we're some kind of slackers or something. The truth is, we don't save as much as we used to, but we're investing a lot more than we used to.
Well, the other thing is the government statistics that they always cite on national savings rate don't measure what many of us think of as saving and investing.
Exactly. That's my point.
They don't measure the 401k and other retirement contributions.
Thank you.
So I think it's really a specious number. And, yes, we can always do more, but a lot of people are doing quite well.
But, see, a lot of politicians will say they'll blame that on the other party, whichever party is arguing the case. Because, Americans can't make ends meet. They're not saving as much money. You're right. It's a specious argument because they're – we have different ways of doing something with our money besides saving it. A passbook checking account is not a very good investment, is it?
Right, and that's one of the few things they do count as savings. But what they do is they look at your after-tax money and then spending, and what's ever left over, they assume, is savings. So just by definition of after-tax money, that does not count all your retirement plan contributions.
Exactly.
Which is probably, for most people, between that and their home, are their major forms of saving and investing.
Right. So, okay, so what's next?
Two things to talk about. We always think of retirement savings as a way of cutting down on taxes, that you put your money in and it's not taxed and you come out in retirement. But, you know, there's another way of looking at this. We now have the Roth IRA and the fairly new Roth 401k. Mm-hmm. Now, the difference is you put your money in. There's no tax break up front. Why would you want to do it?
You put it in with after-tax money.
After-tax money. Mm-hmm. But every dime that comes out in retirement is tax-free. Mm-hmm. And for young people particularly, that includes decades of earnings. So if you put in, say, $5,000 a year for 5 years, and you have a $25,000 investment, 30 years down the road, you could quite easily be looking at $1 million,
wow,
all of which would come out
tax-free. And would it be tax-free to your heirs as well?
Tax-free to your heirs, so it's also a wonderful estate planning tool for people.
Right, right. The Roth IRA is one of the best tools. And then there's the new Roth 401k. Tell us about that.
Right. That first became available in 2006. And to be honest, it was a very slow takeoff. A lot of employers thought, well, it's just another confusing thing to add. And plus, they were concerned that, like many of the other tax cuts, it was due to expire in 2010. Well, let me tell you, Congress didn't do a whole lot in 2006, but it did muck around a lot with taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things it did was to make the Roth 401k permanent. So I think now you are going to see more employers start to offer this.
So this is a 401k with the same after-tax contribution into it. Is that what it basically
is? That's exactly right. So for 2007, that means all employees can contribute up to $15,500. That's $500 more than last year. And for those people who are 50 plus, they get that extra $5,000 in catch-up contributions.
So now, and you can have a Roth 401k parallel with all your other stuff.
Exactly. And what some companies
A traditional 401k, for example.
Right, but you can't exceed the limits per year. So let's say you had both a Roth 401k and a traditional 401k. Combined, you can put in $15,500. You can't double that. But it's a great way to diversify your retirement savings as far as taxes go, that some of that money is going to come out tax-free, and that's huge.
Mm-hmm. What does Kiplinger think about HSAs?
You know,
health savings accounts.
Health savings account, this serves many groups of people. It basically is a savings account. Think of it as an IRA for health care is the best way I can think of it.
That's exactly right.
Your money goes in pre-tax, so you're not paying taxes on that money. There's limits of how much you can put in per year, and it's tied to a high deductible health insurance plan. So the concept is you save money on your health insurance premiums by having a high deductible plan of about $1,000 for individuals and $2,000 for families, and then you can put that amount of money into your health savings account.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the difference is, unlike the old flexible savings account, this has no use it or lose it rule.
Right.
Each year that you don't use it, you can roll it over after year. And if you switch jobs, you can take it with you. And then the best thing is, it could be the source of another retirement income in retirement.
Well, and it also can go to your heirs. And I'll tell you what, Maybeth, I have been fortunate and blessed to be healthy all my life. If all the money, if since I started working, I'd had an HSA type of a program, I'd have hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank in my name right now.
Yeah,
because the insurance companies got rich off of me being healthy.
And it's particularly good for young workers who, in many cases, are healthy, particularly if their employers are kicking in a contribution, which many are.
Which they can do now more than ever before because of some of the new rules. And as we go to a break, Mary Beth, I believe we're going to look back and see that HSAs was one of the most important pieces of legislation in this generation. It's actually Tintel, folks. We'll be right back with Mary Beth Franklin. She's with Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine, celebrating their 60th anniversary.
As you stand by me.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our friend Mary Beth Franklin, senior editor with Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine. Mary Beth, and folks, we're talking about retirement planning for 2007. One of the big, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier, one of the biggest challenges small business owners have is making the transition from putting every red cent that can possibly scrape up and you know, picking up cans on the side of the highway, whatever it takes to capitalize their business. There's always some place to put the money. There's never a business, there's never been a small business that didn't already have a need for more cash than the owners have. And we believe in ourselves or we wouldn't be doing what we're doing. It's not easy for us to say, okay, I'm going to take some of this money that I could have put in my company, and I'm going to put it over here in my own retirement plan. It's not easy to do that.
Well, you know, that's one of the advantages of the solo 401k, is because not only can you put away tax-deferred money, but then you can borrow against it.
There you go.
That's why it's terrific. And
if you need it, if you get into a bind and, you know, maybe you overdid it a little bit, you can go in there and get some of it out.
And also, for so many people, the small business is their, quote, retirement career. Maybe they've worked for the man or worked for the federal government or something for 20, 30 years, and then they have this dream about starting a business.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they have IRA money or 401k from a previous job, they can roll that over into their solo 401k.
Right, right.
And then have a lump of money they can borrow against to get that business started.
I know a guy who came out of an ESOP.
Mm-hmm.
And took that money and borrowed against it and started and bought a business.
It's a great way to finance a business. And, you know, the one thing many small business owners are afraid to spend money on is advice. How do I invest this money? What should I do? Well, you know what? For 2 days this month, Kiplinger's is offering a free service. We're pairing up with the top fee-only financial planners at NAPFA and offering 2 days to call in toll-free and ask whatever personal finance questions you want.
For
Let me
free?
Give you that number for free. You don't even have to pay for the phone call. It's toll-free.
Happy birthday from Kiplinger. Thank
That's
you
right.
very much. Give us the toll-free number.
The toll-free number for that is 888-919-2345. And there's 2 days. Let me give you the days. Tuesday, January 16th or Friday, January 26th. You can call and ask whatever personal
Tuesday
finance question
16th
you want.
Tuesday the 16th and Friday the 25th.
26th.
Friday the 26th.
And let me tell you, more than 25,000 Kiplinger readers have already called in. We've done this over four different occasions.
Wow.
And they've been thrilled. And you don't have to be a subscriber.
And anyway, you don't even have to say that Jim Blassingame sent you.
That's right, but it would be nice.
It'd be nice, and they'd be a little nicer to you folks if you do that. They might even give you a donut or something. And give us the number again.
That number is 888-919-2345.
One more time.
888, I'm getting good at this, 919-2345. And if you miss that, just go to our website at kiplinger.com and you can read all about it.
Oh, that sounds good. Well, thank you for that. And tell all my friends there at Kiplinger and Knight and Austin and all those guys, thank you for making that available. That's a great service, and we really appreciate that. Let's get back into the health savings accounts thing. I really think that that's a very important part of the retirement planning, because you know a lot of the things that we need to prepare for, Mary Beth, in the future as we get older, is not just spending money on stuff to live on, but to cover the medical challenges that we might have.
In fact, Fidelity updates a number each year of how much they estimate it would cost a retired couple today without employer-provided health benefits to pay for health care, and they say $200,000.
Wow.
Just earmarked. And that doesn't count long-term care. That's just your out-of-pocket deductible co-payments, premiums, the whole bit.
Here's a question I never have asked anyone that I'd like to know the answer to. Maybe you'll know. Can I use my HSA money for long-term care? Is that considered medical? I mean, if I were in a nursing home, I'd be getting medical care.
As long as you're the actual medical part. The problem is, for so many people, long-term care really isn't medical. It's help with bathing and dressing and eating, all those activities of daily living, which Medicare does not pay for.
Right.
And it's the reason that we do encourage people to look into long-term care insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And
but
I think
go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
You're going to see a renewed emphasis on long-term care insurance in coming years because of the changes in the Medicaid laws where that used to pay for nursing homes.
I think you're right. Mary Beth, you want to come back? Will you come back another day? We've got more to talk about.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Good job today. Happy New Year. Mary Beth Franklin, ladies and gentlemen, with the Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and I want to remind you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.